Welcome to A Deeper Look in the Book. This program is brought to you by Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where our pastor is none other than Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert, Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert will bring in a series of lessons out of the book of Song of Solomon. So get close to your radio and have a Bible ready as we take a deeper look in the book.
In other words, you got pretty white teeth. He says, all of them, all of which bear twins. In other words, you ain't got none missing. They are twins. Amen. And that's what he says. And not one among them has lost her young. See? Your temple are like a slice of pomegranate behind your veil. There are 60 queens and 80 concubines and maidens without numbers. But my dove, my perfect one, is unique. She is her mother's only daughter. She is the pure child of the one who bore her. The maiden saw her and called her blessed. The queen, the concubine also, and they praise her, saying, who is this that grown like the dawn, as beautiful as full moon, as pure as the sun, as awesome as an army with banners? Boy, look, he's pouring it on thick too. Now, he's not talking to her. He's talking to the daughters of Jerusalem. Look what he says. He says, I went down to the orchards of nut trees. I knew I read somewhere about the nut trees. Amen. Somebody ought to say amen. 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 To see the blossom of the valley, to see whether the vine had budded or the pomegranate had bloomed. Before I was aware, my soul set me over the chariots of my noble people. And so the wife is to herself, talking to herself. Then verse number 13, the scripture says, start talking about the daughters of Jerusalem to the wife. Notice what they say, come back, O Shalomite, come back. Come back that we may gaze at you. Come on and hang out with us that we can just look at you because you're so beautiful. Remember, she had been dressed up like a queen. And so they are happy to have her hanging out now with them. But in other words, you don't have to go back home. You can stay with us. But the king says, why should you gaze at the Shulamite as at the dance of the two companies? No, she don't need to stay with y'all. What y'all want to just look at her for? You don't just want to look at her. You got some interior motives. You probably want some of them jewels out of the palace, don't you? You can just only look at a person so long, you know. Amen. Them diamonds, ooh, them pretty diamonds. Ooh, I wish I had me some, huh? Them pretty earrings. You think something like that was going on? When they were just looking at her and admiring her, they was wanting what she had. That's what that was all about. That's why the king said, no, she don't need to stay over there with y'all. She needs to come on back home. What do we say about that third party? You have to be careful listening to the third party. Because the third party sometimes don't always have your best interests at heart. So be careful listening to the third party. And notice how a lot of times how the third party get involved. How did the third party get involved in this situation? She went to him. She went to him. Listen, a lot of times that's the worst thing you can do is a lot of time run over to your friend's house and tell your friend all your business. Amen. Particularly if they are single and you married. You need to be careful. And you need to be careful, too, if you are married and you're going and talking to somebody who's married, but they got problems in their marriage. Hello, somebody. You got to be careful today. That's why you got to have a strong prayer life where when problems come up, they drive you to your knees. Yeah, because a lot of times what happens, you go out and tell your business to somebody, then somebody go tell your business to somebody else. Now you and your friend, y'all done fell out because she put your business out. But you need to pinch yourself because you was the one that told them. Let's go on a little bit further. Amen. All right, so we've looked at the Song of Solomon chapter 5 and 6. We looked at the honeymoon. That was in verse 1. Then we looked at the honeymoon is over from 2 through 8. And then we looked at the desire for the honeymoon. Notice, once the man left, she went back out there to try to get him. He was looking for her. It looked like they kept missing each other. When she leave the girlfriend house, then he show up at the girlfriend house. And so they kept missing each other, but they going to get back together. So both of them was wanting their honeymoon to be reconvened. How do you know when the honeymoon is over? When you don't have the hots like you used to. She didn't have the hots like she used to. He knocked at the door. She didn't jump up like she used to. Is I'm right about it? Y'all don't want to say amen this evening. Y'all don't want to say amen this evening. Amen. So let's just go on and answer these questions. Let's get on out of here. Y'all got y'all mind on some apple pie or something tonight. Amen. Y'all don't want to talk to me about the honeymoon. All right. What can we learn from this story tonight? There's a lot of lessons, but I had to narrow it down to three major lessons. Number one, the danger of familiarities and excuses. The danger of familiarity, being too familiar. See, in the courtship, a lot of times when that telephone rang and somebody tell you, you know, that's your boyfriend, man, you run and get it. When the boyfriend come over there to the house, you're rushing to get there to the door. When the girlfriend call, you can be hanging out with the other fellas getting ready to shoot basketball, but the girlfriend say, hey, you know, I want you to come go. But you'll drop playing the 5-on-5 basketball game, and you go on and go with your girlfriend. But once you get married, a lot of times the man call, you look at it on call ID, there ain't nobody but Ralph. I'll call him back. Go ahead. What was you saying, baby? What was you saying, child? Yeah, I'll call him back, and then Ralph blowing up the phone. Why you ain't answering? You know, he gonna call 4 or 5 times in a row, and then you're gonna answer, you know. And why you blowing up my phone like this? Why you ain't answering the phone? What do you want? You gonna call 5 times. Why you didn't answer the first time? You know, now y'all arguing over the phone. Amen. What's the problem? Familiarity. You done heard it said. What's the old saying? Familiarity breeds contempt. Yeah. You can get so familiar with somebody that you don't treat them special anymore. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. See, take for instance, if your husband is a mechanic and he always fixing your car, but you don't really praise him. But another lady, her car breaks down. He fixed her car. She praised him out this world. Why is that? Because she been taking it over here to Pet Boys, and they've been charging her an arm and a leg, and this guy here, he fixed it. You say, all you need to do is just get the parts, and I'll fix it for you for free. So she praising him. But the wife don't praise him. Why is that? Because the wife is getting it all the time. He's always fixing her car. So she done taken him for granted. And that's what we do with one another. We take one another for granted. And just like, take for instance, a person can cook a good sweet potato pie, cook some good sweet potato pie, cook some good fried chicken. But a lot of times we come home, we got chicken again. Man, we have chicken every Sunday. I feel like I'm getting ready to be a bird. I'm finna fly away, we have another chicken. But somebody else come over there to the house and they eat that chicken. They say, man, can I have seconds? Man, this is some good chicken, the best chicken I ever taste. Matter of fact, you ought to go in business. You'll put Colonel Sanders out of business if they taste this chicken here. You see, why the husband won't praise his wife on the chicken? He's getting it all the time. You see, but somebody who don't get chicken like that all the time, they go crazy. They, wow. That's why you got to always keep your love fresh for one another. Don't get so familiar. Don't fall into that trap of familiarity, because you'll start making excuses. Did you see the excuses that lady was going through? Huh? I can't get up right now. See, the man done work late. He coming home late. I can't get up right now. I just went to bed. My feet is clean. I can't get them dirty. Huh? Isn't that what she said? I can't get my feet dirty. Yeah. Now he got to go back to his old house and stay somewhere else. Amen. And then she realized, well, I better get up and go see about Frank. But Frank gone now. Let me ask a question. Could it be that she was just playing? Could it be she was just playing with him? Sometimes we play games. Sometimes we play games in the marriage. Sometimes when a person call or when a person come, we don't move a lot of times. A lot of times we say, you know, I'm going to let him just, okay, I know it's raining outside, but he should have had his key. He keep losing his key. Let him stay out there and get wet this time. He just need to get wet. He won't lose no key no more. You see what I'm saying? We play them kind of game. The man say, hurry up and open the door, because, you know, the dew is falling. So if it's dew, he done been out there just about all night long, because the dew done started falling until, what, about 3 or 4 in the morning. So she said, I ain't getting up. She may have gotten mad at him for staying out all night. I mean, if the dew is coming down heavy, So we don't really know exactly what happened, but sometimes In a marriage, you have all kind of dynamics that goes on in a marriage. So we play these power games and stuff. But let me tell you something. These power games backfire. Don't play these power games, you know, because you see what happened to her. Amen. Let me move away. Let's go on to number two. We all ready for number two? All right. The danger of being in the wrong place at the wrong time. She was out in the middle of the night going out in the streets, probably peeping in people's houses, wanting to know where is he at. And the police arrested her, beat her up. She was at the wrong place at the wrong time. Amen. The Bible says there's a time and there's a season for everything under the sun. She would have just, you know, done better just going to the door and say, okay, well, he gone. Well, let me get a good night's sleep and then we'll look for him, you know, tomorrow. Amen. Rather than going out there in the middle of the night, because if you don't know nothing about them streets, you got to leave them streets alone. Hello, somebody. See, some folks was born and raised out there on the streets. But other folks, you know, church folks, a lot of church folks, what you doing out here at 2 and 3 in the morning? Going to the nightclub, talking about, let me have some milk. Amen. Yeah, first time I went to the nightclub. That's what I did. Amen, amen. Well, you know, I was nervous about being up in there. And I said, boy, if mama and them, you know, you'd be looking back and stuff, wondering every time that door would open. And so I made sure I didn't go home smelling like no beer. And so I said, do you have, you know, something light? They say, light like what? I say, some milk. They say, some milk. I say, yeah, some milk. So, no, I didn't want no orange juice because they said they put stuff in the orange juice. And see, mama taught us that at the family reunion. Don't get no orange juice at the family reunion. I love orange juice, but at our family reunion, they say you can't drink no orange juice. Leave the orange juice alone at the family reunion. Amen. Even though them church folks there and everything. You have to be careful. Amen. See, you have to know what's happening out there in the streets. Amen. 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 So I just enjoyed my milk. Amen. But there's the danger of being in the wrong place at the wrong time. And then number three, the power of agape love. The power of agape love. The most beautiful thing that I like about this story here. When she went out and talked to her girlfriends, what did she say about her beloved? She just complimented him from the top of his head, the sole of his feet. What did he say about her? Same thing. Agape love. See, most of us, if we would went to that door and somebody told us, I can't get up, I don't want to get my feet dirty, we wouldn't have put no perfume on that door. It would have smelled, but it wouldn't have been no... It wouldn't have been no good smell on that dough. Amen. Amen. And then would have even booby-trapped the dough. Ain't no telling what we would have done to that dough. And when we would have left and got in our car, we wouldn't have had no good thoughts in our minds from the top of our head to the sole of that person's feet, complimenting them. We would have described them all right, but it wouldn't have been a good description. Just wait till I see that so-and-so-and-so. That so-and-so-and-so-and-so. He ain't nothing but a so-and-so-and-so-and-so. He ain't no Christian. He's a so-and-so-and-so-and-so-and-so-and-so-and-so. But that ain't what they said. Why is that? Because they had agape love. What is agape love? See, in the Greek language, there was three kinds of love. There was the eros love, which we get our word erotic. That's the sexual love. I love you because of what you can do for me. The sexual love. Then there is the phileo love, the friendship love. I scratch your back because you scratch my back. And as long as you scratch my back, I'll keep on scratching your back. That's that friendship love. But then there's the agape love. It's an unconditional love. I love you even though you may not love me in return. I'll do for you even though you don't do for me. And that's the only way a marriage can last. Because there are times in a marriage that the husband don't do what he's supposed to do. And if you start playing a tick for tack, your marriage ain't no last. You can't come in Pastor Wibble's office and say, well, Pastor, I'm not going to do what I'm supposed to do because he ain't doing what he's supposed to do. No, you do what you're supposed to do even though he's not doing what he's supposed to do. And vice versa. And watch God work. God is wanting somebody to use that agape love where you do for others and not looking for anything in return. Now you have to grow into that. You have to grow into that. See, a lot of times folks, they say they love each other. But the thing about marriage is a revealer of truth. Did you hear what I said? Marriage is a revealer of truth. Matter of fact, you think you know yourself, but you don't know yourself until you get married. Marriage will bring the best out of you, and it brings the worst out of you. Amen. So marriage is a great revealer of truth. If you want to know what's really deep down on the inside of you, get married. Amen. Because somebody can push your button. Amen. And if you ain't got enough Jesus in you, something else gonna come out of you. Whatever's in you, hello somebody, it's going to come out of you. Amen. See, you can fool some church folk because you just with them on Sunday. And so you can say, you know, God bless you. Man, I wish they'd get out of my face. Amen. You know, you're sick of that person, but you know, you can put up with them for 30 minutes in church. Or an hour, you know, you sitting by, singing by a person that you don't really like to sing by up there in the choir, but you go on, but you want to be in the choir.
Sent down the glory.
If you would like a copy of the message that you have just heard in its entirety, please call the church office at 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. Or visit the church website at BibleWayIrving.org. That's BibleWayIrving.org. And come by and worship with us this Sunday morning at 11 o'clock at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. And tune in tomorrow as we take a look in the book.